This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, which also sponsors PBS's CEO Exchange, online at shrm.org.
Well, that didn't last long.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The stock market's got some juice from the Fed's surprise interest rate cut yesterday, but that honeymoon is already over. So far this morning, the Dow is down another 210 points, about 2%. The NASDAQ has dropped 52, and the S&P 500 is down 25. Apple predicted lower profits for the second quarter. There's that. Plus, in Europe, the European Central Bank said it would not follow the Fed's lead and cut rates. So shares in London are down 3%, and in Germany and France, they're down 4%. The Asian markets did have a positive day. The Hang Seng Index in Hong Kong gained back 10% of the 13% it lost earlier this week. So now that the Fed has acted, what about the president's plan for stimulating the economy? Or the other proposals in Congress and on the campaign trail? Commentator Will Wilkinson says there's no need for them now.
In the past few days, we've heard Hillary Clinton rally for assistance to strapped mortgage holders and folks struggling to pay their energy bills. Barack Obama prefers cutting $250 checks to low-wage workers and retirees. For his part, President Bush wants to stave off recession by sending even bigger checks to everybody. In the coming days, politicians will no doubt continue to tell us how they intend to save the economy by sending some or all of us checks. The idea behind fiscal stimulus is that if consumers suddenly come into a chunk of money, they'll turn right around and spend it, goosing the economy. But in reality, many people just sock that money in the bank, which doesn't help anybody but them. What's more, a stimulus plan of even $100 billion is just a small drop in the massive bucket of a $13 trillion U.S. economy. And the sluggishness of the political process all but guarantees that too little will come too late. In contrast, a Fed rate cut happens immediately. It's in effect right now. And the looser credit and spending it'll generate will likely dwarf any of the proposed fiscal stimulus packages. Most importantly, the historical record of lowering interest rates to spur investment and borrowing is relatively strong. Of course, we got into this mess in the first place from easy credit. And we ought to be careful that the rate cut doesn't set up the next cycle of exhilaration and misery. That said, the fiscal stimulus sweepstakes was never anything more than pandering political theater. It's probably too much to hope for Bush, Clinton, Obama, and company to give their plans the hook, but a politician with honest economic sense would acknowledge that Bernanke just closed the curtain.
Will Wilkinson is a policy analyst at the Cato Institute in Washington. You can find a link to his blog on our website, marketplace.org. What can you get for a buck at Starbucks? Perhaps a mint, maybe the Wednesday edition of the local paper. Well, things might be changing. The Wall Street Journal says Starbucks will offer a new drink at some of its Seattle stores, coffee for a dollar, plus free refills. Here's what's going on. Starbucks shares have lost half their value in the past year, and one reason is competition from McDonald's and Dunkin' Donuts. But will dollar coffee really do the trick? Jeremy Hobson stood outside a Starbucks in Washington, D.C. this morning.
Lisa from San Diego is sipping a grande latte. She says money is no object when it comes to warming up on a cold day.
It wouldn't matter if it cost $3 or a dollar. I'd get it no matter what.
Ah, but then there's Washington native Nicole. For her, the one-buck cup is as enticing as a caramel macchiato.
I think I would take it right now. I'm in desperate need of coffee.
Do you go to Starbucks often? Do you get coffee every day?
Yes. It's expensive, it's true, but it's like crack.
She says she usually sticks with the cheap stuff when feeding her addiction. And then there's Pete, a tall guy from Arlington, Virginia. Tell me what you're holding in your hand right now.
I have a venti skim latte.
And what does that go for these days?
I think it's about $4.30.
So a $1 cup, would that entice you?
That would.
Of course, the new offering would look much smaller in Pete's hand than his venti cup. It's only 8 ounces. Starbucks is calling it short. In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
This is the Morning Report for Wednesday, January 23rd on Marketplace.org. More than 250 mayors from around the country get together in Washington today for their annual sit-down. Housing will get a lot of attention, and so will local warming, you might call it. Dan Gretsch has more from our sustainability desk.
The U.S. Conference of Mayors has been a leader in fighting global climate change. While the U.S. government has rejected the Kyoto Protocol, 750 mayors have pledged to meet Kyoto's targets for greenhouse gas reduction in their own cities. Tom Cochran is executive director of the U.S. Conference of Mayors.
In addition to saving the planet and making it a healthier place to live, the economic impact is going to be very much like Silicon Valley was in the 90s. I think there's a high growth area here for green jobs and green careers and green businesses.
$10 billion in block grants will be available over the next 5 years for climate change initiatives. Cochran says housing foreclosures have forced cities to deal with a different sort of green issue. Across the country, abandoned homes are overgrown with weeds, blighting neighborhoods.
I said, what can we do to help? And one man jokingly said, we need some lawnmowers.
I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
The World Economic Forum got underway today in Davos, Switzerland. Obviously, there's a lot to talk about this year. Our European correspondent Stephen Beard reports.
Last year, they celebrated the glories of global capitalism. This year, the mood is more muted. Among the 2,500 business people, politicians and officials in Davos, the talk is mostly about market turmoil. Some called for stronger political leadership, among them hedge fund boss George Soros. He surprised many when he told the BBC that what had caused the current crisis was a lack of regulation by the authorities.
They ought to have known better because they have in the past come to the rescue. So they ought to know that the markets don't necessarily ride themselves.
Some of the Davos attendees praised the Fed for slashing interest rates yesterday. Others called it a panic measure. Most eloquent, perhaps, was the absence of key policymakers. Both the U.S. finance chief Henry Paulson and his U.K. counterpart Alistair Darling pulled out of the event at short notice. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Here in the U.S., you can find a sale 365 days a year, almost any hour of the day. But in France, sales at stores are only allowed twice a year. Now the French government is thinking of letting them happen all year round. Anita Elash reports from Paris.
On the first weekend of the annual January sales, the Rue du Commerce in Paris's 15th arrondissement is crowded with shoppers laden down with purchases. Sophie Guyat has bought shoes, a dress, and several T-shirts and pullovers, all at half price. She's been planning this day since Christmas.
During my holidays, Christmas holidays, I went shopping, and I try different things, different dress, different coat, different shoes. So when the sales begins, I know what I want.
Les soldes, as they're called, are an event worth planning for because they're allowed just twice a year. It's the only time retailers can drop prices below cost. That means deep discounts for shoppers and a bonanza for shopkeepers. Some stores do a third of their year's business during les soldes, but economists say there's a big downside to the French system. It keeps prices artificially high the rest of the year. Peter Jarrett is with the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development.
It clearly means that that retailers are able to get away with maintaining their margins at a higher level than they would otherwise.
Retailers claim they could be ruined if the government allows sales all year long. Not because their margins would drop, but because sales would no longer be a major event. Jacques Perria is the head of a trade association that represents the large department stores in France.
La réalité, c'est que les objets que nous vendons.
The reality is people buy things during the sales that they probably don't need. And without the huge marketing effort that goes into the sales, they probably won't buy them.
The French government will decide next month whether to do away with les soldes just after the January sales have ended. In Paris, I'm Anita Elash for Marketplace.
General Motors has been the world's number one car maker for 76 years. But Toyota spent all of last year gunning for the top spot. Well, the numbers are in for 2007. And the winner is... we have no idea. This morning, GM said it sold 9,369,524 cars last year. A few days ago, Toyota said it sold 9,037,000 cars. It didn't give us enough digits, so we have a dead heat until someone can sort this out and decide who sold the most cars last year. A certain candy maker has decided to go green, but believe me, this has nothing to do with global warming. Andrea Gardner reports.
You've heard it for years, the rumor that green M&Ms are supposed to be an aphrodisiac. Well, Mars, the company that makes M&Ms, is hoping to cash in on that urban legend. The company has come out with bright green bags of nothing but green M&Ms as the Valentine's Day retail season heats up. Marketing analyst Marissa Gluck from Radar Research says the move is more than just a pop culture tie-in.
They're competing on a really cluttered shelf. So they gain two advantages. One is that they stand out in a shelf full of red and pink candies. And the second is they seem a little bit more hip.
The sexy ad campaign might be a risk for M&Ms, traditionally a wholesome brand popular with kids and parents. But Gluck says the company is banking that consumers will get the joke. I'm Andrea Gardner for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like...
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.